Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome to another episode of But Am I Wrong?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Starring
two people who have never been wrong.
Just know, though, that in tomorrow's episode, where we read the results of last week's, something happens while we're recording. That is me being right.
But if
and it, Melissa being
the
wrong.
Thing is if you take it percentage wise of how many times I was right versus how many times you're wrong, it's probably like, I mean, versus how many times you were right, you're probably right about 0.09%.
But in that moment, I was right 200%.
Whatever.
It's a numbers game, everybody. Welcome to another episode where we are two people who have never once been wrong in our lives, and we are going to tell you when you are wrong. We're also going to tell each other in our lives, hey, are we wrong about this situation? We never are. You can watch on Patreon to see Melissa do a little shaky shake. It happens to both of us. It happens all the fucking time.
Yep.
The latest episode of Love Island, maybe it wasn't the latest, didn't make your nipples hard.
It made my nips real hard.
If you want to watch this, head on over to Patreon so you can see us in all of our glory.
We look cute today.
We do. I'm blue, abba-dee-abba-da. We have three segments of the show. We will get into each of them as they occur. But one of our favorite parts is you all get to vote on who you think is wrong in each of our segments by going to our Instagram. These episodes come out on Thursday. We usually post the votes on Friday. And by we, I mean me. And if I haven't posted them and it's Friday, feel free to send me a DM and be like, hey, girl. Unless I'm traveling, like, just give me a little friendly reminder. Then we read the results on our Friday episode, which is called Fisting Friday, because we're making sexual jokes out of absolutely everything we do. I hate that. It's like, I'm fine with the over-exaggerate, but when you make it like...
real?
No, I hate, like, I don't like that. Like, I really don't like that.
Some people do. It's for them.
It's not for me, and I'm the only person here. We're talking to an audience that is not in the room with us.
Are they?
Are they? Is the audience in the room with us right now? So, yeah, it's a great time. We also post the votes straight to the highlights as soon as they're up. So if you're missing one when you're looking at the stories, do that. They're only there for 24 hours, though. And then if you vote with the unpopular opinion, or maybe it was the one that you wrote in about, or even if it's a popular opinion, if you have thoughts, feelings, send us a message so we can read it out loud and start a dialogue, a conversation on the Fisting Friday episode. Because you know what you need while you're fisting? More talking.
Mm-hmm. And you have to talk your way through it.
That sounds so procedural, like medical.
It kind of is.
I mean, in what, depending on your context.
Well, I know a doctor that is his job, is to fix prolapsed buttholes. And he's known as the fisting doctor that you go to in Florida. Hmm. He's a good looking man.
Yeah.
Has nice looking hands. Well manicured.
You'd have to. If that's like your whole job is like, even subconsciously, I would be like, let me look at your hands. If you're, I know you're not fisting me as the operation, but I would like to know what's going into my body.
Yeah.
Anyways, without further ado, shall we hop in to our first segment, which is, But Am I Wrong? Where we tell each other things that are happening in our lives currently, a situation, and we ask the other, am I wrong? Or we present a hot take with the class.
Or rants. We decided on that last week. Oh, yes, or rants too. Mm-hmm.
So mine is a combination of a hot take and a rant. And I say specifically like kind of a rant because I've touched on a subset of this before. But I think, don't come for me, that bridal talk might be one of like the absolute worst sides and like pockets of influencing.
I've never been on it, so enlighten me.
It's like my fucking phone knows that I'm engaged and they're like, so we must be serving you like bride content. And some of the stuff that I see is totally fine. Like there are like, I think wedding planners who do videos talking about like cost breakdowns or like how they do these things, like helpful, great, informational, wonderful. People trying on dresses, I'm like, oh, cute, like fun, great, whatever. But there are people who like you'll see in their bio that's like 2023 bride or something. Like it becomes a part of their identity and then their entire TikTok account is about wedding planning. And there are, again, there's someone who I follow who reviews like Vogue weddings and like not in a like bitchy way or not even in like a cunty way. Like in just like, oh, and I loved this and this was so pretty and they'll talk about the details. And then they also review like people will send in their own weddings and like she'll do like the photo stuff. But then she also like talks about fashion. She talks about like how to source different items. And it's not about really her wedding planning process. So I just want to say there's a very stark difference to me between making your wedding your social media brand that you're like, you're not a professional in the space. You're not getting paid for. You're making this time in your life, like your entire social media identity versus, you know, being fascinated and interested in weddings and talking about them in like forever on in your content. So I think this is where the really hot take and maybe conspiracy theory comes in. I think that there's an intentional pipeline from traditional, from bridal TikTok and being a bridal influencer to the traditional housewife gender roles. And then I think there's an unintentional brand identity of becoming like my entire identity is in being a bride. And I think because we see all these people, not you, me, I see all of these things, that it kind of gets conflated that people are like, oh, I'm going to start making bridal TikTok videos and become one of those TikTok brides without realizing that half of the people that they're watching have then suddenly turned into like day in my life as like as my first day as a wife. And my day in a life is like my as a wife and like you know, like someone asked like why we didn't live together before we got married. And that's because, you know, a man has no incentive to marry you if you're just a girlfriend who's already cooking for him and cleaning for him. Like, why would he spend the money on a ring when he's getting it all for free? And I'm like, I'm not shocked at all that you are saying this. That's to me the intentional pipeline to that. And at most, it like usually promotes you. It promotes like useless consumerism. And like there's this bubble because the wedding trend cycle is so fast. It's, I think, honestly, probably faster than even fashion and like anything else. Like people are like, oh, this wedding is so 2022. Like this wedding is like so dated. Like you can't do this anymore. Like this is so gross. This is so like 2014 Pinterest, blah, blah, blah. That there's like an increased pressure to spend money on a singular day. So your audience is also like fleeting. And this is from the sides of like, not just like regular people just sharing their wedding, it's people who like try to make that their, I don't know. It kind of feels like the MLM influencer version, like a get rich quick thing. Like, oh, if I throw on these hashtags here, like this video is going to blow up and like this is going to be what blows me up. But weddings are just very much keeping up with the Joneses. And I can't imagine this helps with like the lack of identity and no longer feeling special, like after the wedding ends. And I think it's sometimes it feels like people seek out these echo chambers to justify what they're doing. And it's like a really expensive bubble. And then when you're watching these things and you're already spending, let's say $15,000 on something, and someone's like, oh, and you can upgrade, and I'm upgrading this to this and this and this. And I think that's like a lot of the time people will talk about how planning a wedding can be really isolating. And it's because no one can really relate to you deciding between to spend $10,000 on white chairs or $20,000 on acrylic chairs. It's not like a, or an eggshell or a cream. Like it's not the plight that everybody else has. I also wonder, what if the marriage fails? Which, you know.
Then it becomes a divorce account.
Honestly, I'm telling you right now, I would love that more. I think like doing that so much more. But also, it feels like it's another way to make like the wedding process and season of your life not really about the couple or the marriage, but just about appearances of it. And I saw someone who's like going through, and like, granted, they were donating like all of their, like, oh, I'm donating all of my bridal clothes. But then someone's like, oh my God, I need bridal clothes. And it's like, oh, well, for the engagement shower, like all of these different events. It's like, oh, I haven't had those. And it's like, oh, well, you should ask if someone's going to plan those for you. And it's just like, holy fucking shit. Like this is, it's already such a huge, expensive fucking industry. And then, I don't know, people who aren't getting caught up with influencer trends or spending a lot of money and being influenced by what people say. In a wedding, you're already spending so much fucking money. So people just end up spending more and more and more monies. And I think all of this boils down to that, like planning a wedding and becoming a bride is one of the few times when I think we like celebrate women and femininity in our society. And it's not only allowed, but encouraged by everybody. And I can imagine that that's intoxicating. And that's like, I think probably how we get to that bridezilla trope, that it's like, we're telling women that this is the most important part of your lives. You've officially been picked. Like now you have a wedding dress. This is all about you. This is you. Like you don't have to sacrifice anything you want, which women are never fucking told like at all. It's always like, you're too high maintenance. Like you're doing this, like you need to be more chill. But then we put like this threshold cap on it. And if you go past it, you're a bridezilla. But it's like, but you created the monster. You started the monster. Like you made women feel worthless and like shit until they get married. And then when they're engaged, you tell them that like they've accomplished everything. They're doing everything right. This is amazing and perfect. And you finally give the praise. And then you feed the monster. And then you tell them they've become a monster. While all the while just swiping their credit cards over and over and over again. And I think there's a big difference between going on YouTube to like watch someone do like a DIY for their wedding, or a creator like filming something that was like successful, or their experience of the aftermath, or even like a daily vlog of it. But they're watching it back, they're editing it, and it's all in the span of at least days, if not like weeks, over a time period of all of this. Versus, you know, TikTok, you pick up your phone and you record a smash or pass on 2023 wedding trends, and it blows, you add the hashtags knowing that it's gonna blow up and like go viral like really, really, really fucking quickly. And it's gonna go straight to the audience of brides who are like doom scrolling to see if their own wedding passes the test. And on short form platforms like TikTok, negative things with the algorithm do better. And so like it just can feed into like the absolute toxicity of it. And all of this spans because, I mean, all this started from two different videos, but one was because a girl made a video stitching someone else's wedding video, accusing them of copying her wedding.
Who cares?
Melissa, it's, you could open Pinterest and it's the same wedding. But it's like, holy fucking shit, you place all this importance. That's what I mean. I'm like, you get in this echo chamber and you place all of this importance on it, that all of these decisions that you're making that are really fucking expensive, you have to feel so secure in them and like so special and so unique that like nobody has ever done it before, but everybody's done it fucking before. But the idea that nobody has done it before and that's what everyone is striving for with the wedding is literally an impossible goal. That's just the only people who are entertaining that, like all of your vendors and shit, they're just doing that to get more money out of you. And then you're going to accuse this couple of copying your wedding that was like so perfect and like so special and all of that. Like literally, even if they did, who gave a fuck? And also
it's not about the show that you're putting on. It's about you making a commitment to your partner.
But if you're going to be a bridal influencer, people will be influenced.
That's true too.
Like what the fuck? And like, to me, I'm like, I really hope that video, it blew up. I'm like, I hope it's a wake up call for people that it's like, some things are not supposed to be monetized. And something that is like, whether you deem marriage like sacred or a wedding or whatever, but like if you have an individuality complex, hi, me, hello, gatekeep, gaslight, gatekeep, girl boss your fucking wedding.
People always ask me where my stuff is from and I'm like,
I'm an Aquarius. Why the fuck would I tell you? No, it's just like,
if you don't want it, people to copy you, don't be an influencer.
Yeah. And the whole thing, I just feel like is so toxic because there's not really anything good that comes out of it. You become a successful bridal talk influencer. People only want to see brides who are actively planning their wedding. Your wedding's done. What the fuck is your content? Like it has not been about you. And then you've made your entire identity an event, like a day, like, and then not even like your marriage or your wedding. And I can also assume that weighs kind of heavy on your partner, especially because the wedding planning stuff is not easy. And like there's stuff that's hard or stressful, but when you are making that content, then if you only make the content of the hard stuff that's going on, then all you're doing is complaining and getting in an echo chamber of other people complaining, or you're not talking about the things that are hard. But then a lot of people won't even talk about their own wedding. So like, you know, talk about it in like things that are kind of like obscure or whatever. And it just feels like it's like a get famous quick, but then you fall just as quickly and hope your social media and your influence doesn't fail along with like your marriage and your relationship and your sense of identity. Like it just, it feels so specifically targeted at brides and that there's no way to succeed. You only fail. Like you're either I'm not like other girls, or you're a bridezilla. Like it's just, and it's like a gazillion dollar industry, which we talked about in like a while ago about the wedding industrial complex. But it's just, you don't have to participate in it, and you can share your wedding, you can share all of that stuff without fitting into this like niche on TikTok that like I think most people would look back on in a while and be like, wow, I don't like this.
Yeah.
So I'm like watching all this shit and I'm like, oh my God, what if you statistically, it's highly likely that you will get divorced.
So have fun.
At least share that with us.
I'm going to be an influencer soon.
What are you going to influence?
My it'll be a tight niche. But I can't say it.
Oh, okay. Because she's an Aquarius.
The product I have, I'm getting it for my birthday, but there's also a wait list for it. So I probably won't have it till March. So
I just want everyone to know that like, there's no way for me to even fucking guess what she's talking
about.
I've
told you about it before. I told you I wanted this thing.
Oh my God, Melissa, you want like a fucking like zero gravity amniotic fluid chamber. Like, I don't know. Like there's so many things it fucking could be.
Anyway, here's mine. It is a rant. It's serious. So
are you implying that my bridal TikTok rant was not serious?
I'm implying that mine is very serious. So
we've got both in this episode then.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
All right. So mine is gun violence needs to end and it starts with the manufacturers. It's not a hot take.
It's dare I say a frozen take.
Right. So today is January 25th. Shootings that made the headlines in the last 4 days. We've got the Monterey Park, California shooting where 11 are dead, 9 wounded at a Lunar New Year celebration. Then in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, there was 12 wounded at a nightclub. In Des Moines, Iowa, 2 students are dead and 1 teacher was wounded at a youth outreach center. Half Moon Bay, California, 7 dead, 1 wounded at two separate plant nurseries, and then Oakland, California, one dead, seven wounded at a gas station. I actually wrote this yesterday, and I saw this morning there was another shooting that was like a headline where a lot of people injured at another nightclub. But according to Everytown, which is a movement of parents, students, survivors that help with gun education, every day there are more than 110 people shot and killed, and more than 200 are shot and wounded. That's every single day. Mm-hmm. And so every year, the gun industry rakes in approximately $9 billion while we pay with our lives. So gun violence kills more than 40,000 people and wounds twice as many each year. Some of the top manufacturers of guns are Glock, Smith & Wesson, Taurus, and Ruger. And Students Demand Action shared that there are 17 demands for gun industry to take a step up. And I'm not going to say all of them, but here are a few. And they seem pretty reasonable. Stop making AR-15s and other assault weapons that use high-capacity magazines. Stop marketing to kids and teens. Stop using fear-based ads to sell guns. Stop marketing weapons of war to civilians and using military imagery to sell guns. And stop working. They literally work with TV shows and movies to get their gun and video games to get their guns as product placement, which sounds outrageous.
No, like, until you said this, I thought a Glock was a kind of gun, not a brand. And I'm like, oh, but it's name dropped for a fee the same way that like Pepsi is.
Yes. Yes. And so the Giffords Law Center to Prevent Gun Violence, if you don't know who the Giffords are, just take a second to look it up. They have an article about the gun industry immunity, which states that with every other industry in the United States, civil liability can be used as an important check or irresponsible and harmful industry behaviors. But the profit-seeking gun industry has enjoyed enormous exemptions from liability and accountability in court since President Bush signed the Federal Protection of Lawful Commerce in Arms Act in law in 2005. Many states have also enacted similar laws that shield firearm and ammunition manufacturer dealers and other industry members from any kind of like civil suits that they can receive. And so there's no civil liability for anything that happens with gun violence, which is not the same thing. Like if I sit on this couch and it like the leg falls off, then I could sue the company, even if I was the one that screwed the legs on.
Yeah, even like with cars.
Yeah.
Like the guns misfire. Guns have like, there's room for error in manufacturer error as well as user error, which there's liability in cars for both of those things.
Mm-hmm. And Everytown says that firearms are not regulated like other consumer products. The laws regulating how many guns may be sold are outdated. And members of the gun industry that skirt the law enjoy special legal protection. Guns are not required to have safety features that are shown to reduce unintentional shootings and theft. Information is hidden from the public on which gun dealers supply firearms recovered in crime. Gun dealers are rarely inspected or held accountable, even though violations are common. Gun manufacturers and sellers that skirt the law have a unique, broad immunity from legal accountability. So it's past time for this to be regulated in the United States. And I'm just sick of every day waking up to something of somebody getting injured or shot from a gun or somebody just going on angry retaliations against people or people just shooting for quote unquote fun and hurting themselves too.
Yeah. I think that like similarly to how on the packs of cigarettes, it has to say like this has led to cancer or whatever, like I think it should say like this is how many people have died by gun violence, but also specifically I think it should have the statistic where having a gun in your home is more likely to be used against you. And I think it's like whatever the actual percentage and numbers of it, but it is far less likely that you will use your gun in self-defense at your home. It is more likely that your partner or someone else will use it against you, resulting in death of you or a loved one.
Right.
And that one, because again, the self-defense definition, like you're saying, like it's, or the justification of it. And like, it's all like military and like, oh, I'm like patriotism, like protect your family and all of that kind of shit. And that's a lie. Like that's not true. And that's like statistically not what's happening. And so you should have to disclose that to people who, when you're telling them they're buying it for their own safety, you should let them know, like, we told you that like this will help you stay safe, but you should know statistically, this is actually having this in your home puts you at risk way more.
Right. Right. In the same way that we have to take a test to drive a car, to have a waiting period before we can operate it by ourselves, like that should be a whole thing. And the gun manufacturers should be like, that should be something that they should be for, because that also it should protect them, but it doesn't.
Yeah. And like across our country, we need the same gun laws in every fucking state. But again, it needs to be accountability, right? And like that's how you have regulations there. Like that's why companies have HR, to protect themselves. But when there's no consequence, then there's no reason for them to have any regulations there,
because once again, capitalism, $9 billion they make a year.
Yeah. And everyone should also check up on who in your area, local politicians as well, who has received money from the NRA. And you'll notice,
and the gun manufacturers themselves too,
there's a huge political reason, and the reason is not that they believe that guns are our right and that they're for our safety. It's because they're being paid off, which should also be illegal.
Yep.
You shouldn't be able to take,
but they're the ones that get laws.
I know, that's what I mean. It's like, it's just a cycle
of incompetence, capitalism, and greed.
And yeah, and corruption. So you're obviously not wrong, because it's a rant and it's all factually correct. Okay.
All right, let's take a break.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In our live stream, our listeners are always recommending and talking about books. So we're so excited about Book of the Month, because this is something that our listeners are going to love.
This is a brand that I've been familiar with for a long time. I like love watching people talk about it. I love seeing what books people are reading and like what books they have available. And I love everything about it. So I'm so excited for someone who like, you know, the ease of getting into a book, a lot of it can feel like really daunting. So to have like a service where it's like, you're going to get like high quality hardcover books, which that's my preferred way to read, at incredible prices, but also curated. So it's like amazing, cool, wonderful, great. This is, it's kind of like a straight shot into that, and something that book of the month you can do over and over and over again. And one of the great things about it is the longer you are part of the program, the cheaper the books get.
Book of the Month's mission is to help readers discover new books they love and promote the work of emerging authors. One of the amazing things about Book of the Month is that every aspect of Book of the Month experience is designed to be fun and special for readers. First of all, the books come in a bright blue box, which is very pretty. Me and Megan were just talking about them. There's also a fun app to pick your books and track reading progress. And as well, there are reading challenges and rewards.
And Book of the Month makes it really easy to decide what book to read next, which for me is like the biggest hurdle. I love when other people make choices for me, especially when they're good choices. And I'm like, cool, I can trust you. So each month, the editorial team reads through hundreds of new titles and they pick some of the best new books for you to choose from. All of the books are so good, you can't go wrong. And I mean that wholeheartedly. When we were picking like our selects for this, I was like, wait, I like all of them. This is hard. And I literally coordinated with Melissa and I was like, okay, so these are like my top ones. I'm assuming they will be yours. So don't pick the same one as me so then we can swap afterwards. And that's what we did.
So we got The Ministry of Time by Killian Bradley. And we also received The Return of Ellie Black by Emiko Jean.
The Ministry of Time is like, people are calling it like, if you're a fan of Outlander and like spy novels or time traveling books, it's quoted from Town and Country saying it's really innovative, fun storytelling. The Ministry of Time is definitely for you, and listed as 45 of the must-read books for spring 2024. And then Harper's Bazaar also said part time travel romance, part spy thriller, and 100% multifaceted joyride. When I tell you that, I was like, sold.
We're also excited about The Return of Ellie Black, and this one is about a missing girl who returns, but that isn't the end of the story. It's only the beginning. We both like a detective book. This one is 20 years since Detective Chelsea Calhoun's sister vanishes. Ever since, Chelsea has been searching for signs for closure for other missing girls. But happy endings are rare in Chelsea's line of work. Which, that sounds so intriguing. And I'm looking forward to reading this novel so much.
Can't wait. And we're so excited to usher in this new sponsor. And we know y'all are already going to love this. Plus, we've been recommended this so many times. Mm-hmm. So we've already got fans in you. Try the service yourself at bookofthemonth.com. And you can get your first book for $5 with code PETALS. That is your first book, $5 at bookofthemonth.com using code PETALS. And we are back from our break and we're going to hop into our next segment, which is But Are You Wrong? Where you write into our email address, butamiwrongpod@gmail.com. And you let us know a situation in your life where you want our insight, us to hit with the bedazzled gavel. If you are in the right or wrong, if you're the hero or villain in your situation, we do require that you keep it under 300 words. And it's all anonymous, so give fake names if you want to include names. If you would like to include pronouns of you and other people who are involved, please do so. And make sure you let us know your ages so we can get like a nice, well-rounded sense mm-hmm. before we go into our jury deliberation of two.
You're up.
Okay. Hi, Eminem. I, female 18, am in a very different point in my life compared to my friends. I didn't get into my uni of choice, so I've taken a gap year instead in my country of birth and have been cut off financially by my parents. For context, I grew up internationally as a child of diplomats. That sounds like a Mary-Kate Ashley movie. And attended many international expensive private schools, which most classmates came from extremely rich backgrounds. Annual tuition was close to a U.S. college tuition, making many of my friends very privileged and wealthy people that have now gotten into their dream universities abroad and are being completely financially supported by their parents. For example, my ex-boyfriend's parents are paying double the cost of his dorm room so he doesn't have to share. Meanwhile, I'm living alone, employed as a kindergarten assistant teacher, which honestly forced me to be mature. I found interacting with many of my friends to be almost unbearable at times, in part of my own jealousy. I wish I was in their positions right now, focusing on midterms or frat parties, instead of worrying about trying to cover my healthcare. I am frustrated and exhausted by every interaction with acquaintances asking me about my life stage and feeling like I owe them an explanation. I feel guilty for judging them and being annoyed at them when they aren't deliberately trying to hurt my feelings with their occasional ignorance. However, the clear divide in economic position and, to a degree, privilege is not something I know how to grapple with. So my question is, am I wrong to gradually distance myself from these friends? Or should I be reflecting internally on why I am jealous and comfortable? Thanks, and love all the podcasts. I don't think that you're wrong at all for wanting to distance yourselves. I think the way I would go about it and the way that I wish I had done was that, like, I wish that I had intentionally sought out friends and people who came from similar backgrounds that as me, because people can be like amazingly great. And like you said, like unintentional ignorance or like not recognizing their own privilege or whatever, like I have a much higher threshold for that when that's not the only fucking thing I'm surrounded by. And I think that you getting fed up with them, I'm sure like there's probably situations where like there might be some specific people who you're like, no, you're just, we're growing apart and like, you're just an ignorant ass and I don't want to be friends with you anymore. But there might also be some people who you'll have more patience for them and being able to like answer a question if you feel comfortable and then have them learn from that and then not ask that again or to like be educated on that and like take the initiative when that's not who you're spending all of your time with, because like that does feel really othering. So I would like seek out, I know you're not asking for advice, but like I think that having a natural distance grow is great, but I don't think that, I think you're in a really isolating part of your life right now. And so I don't think the solution is to isolate yourself from everybody. I think it's like take some distance from the people who are like making you feel shitty about your situation, even if it's unintentionally, and then seek out people who you feel like you can really relate to. I had a core group of friends growing up that didn't grow up in Marin with, we all didn't grow up with as much money. They all had more money than we did. And I had a couple of friends who had less money than I grew up with. And like, I don't know what I would have done without that. And I wish that I had that. I wish I'd fostered those relationships more. And I wished, like, even as an adult, like that I had more, you know, friends that had similar, like even like becoming like working in on like sets and stuff, making friends with people who also didn't come from like incredibly privileged, or not even privileged, because like I grew up privileged and so did they, but like incredibly like wealthy backgrounds with a huge safety net. And that's also financial, but then also just like family support. Mm-hmm. It was nice. And it was like, oh, there are some conversations I can only really have with you. And then I can have them with my other friends, but I'm able to have someone I can relate to. So then when I talk to my other friends about it, I'm not trying to get something out of them that they can't give me, you know?
Yeah. And the thing is, 18 is such a transitional point in your life anyway. Some of these people you probably wouldn't have remained, even if you weren't cut off from your parents, you probably wouldn't have remained friends with them. But I do think like a lot of your friendship, your core friendship, when you're just friends with somebody, it's because you have certain things in common. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to be friends with somebody that you have absolutely nothing in common with, because that's not a friendship thing. It's like, you wouldn't cultivate a friendship with them. But when you do have a friendship, it's usually based on at least one thing that you have in common. So if there's some of your friends that you still have some things in common with that, you know, are able to check their privilege, then remain friends with them. But I don't think you're wrong from distancing yourself from people that you no longer have a common bond with, or you might not have even had a common bond. It was just that you were in the situation you were in, you're kind of forced to be with those people anyway. And yeah. Then when you get older, you're not necessarily forced to be with certain people. So then your friendship group diversifies.
Yeah.
Because I have friends that have so much more money than I do. And yeah. Some of the things they talk about, and I'm just like, not relatable. But like some of their struggles, I'm just like, not relatable at all. But like we have a lot of other things in common. So
yeah. And if that's the only thing they can talk about, then I'm like, okay, we're just really different people now. Mm-hmm. Like if I can talk about your money and like your struggles, I don't like say like sounds cunty, but like behind your back. But I'm like, if you come to me and you're like, oh my God, like I just, our $15 million penthouse is drafty. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. But if that's all you want to talk about, like you're the worst things that have happened in your life are the worst things that have ever happened in your life. Like right. You can't have that barometer and threshold. But like, if that's the only thing that we talk about, then there's not, like you said, there's not much left to the friendship.
There's
then.
No friendship. There is no friendship.
So I don't think you're wrong. But I also think like reflecting internally on why you're jealous and uncomfortable. I don't want to say it's not that complicated, but like, I think you know, like jealousy's not a, I think it's kind of, it's an intense emotion, but I wouldn't say it's the most complex. And I don't think we need to like whittle it down to exactly what it is, because it's recognizing envy and jealousy and all of that. Like, it doesn't have to mean more than that. It just, it that's what it is.
Yeah.
And then you can process it as opposed to trying to like explain it away. It doesn't make you a bad person. Mm-hmm. So owning that and being like, okay, this is taking over my life, so I need to supplement this.
Yeah. All right. My turn. Hi, Eminem. I, 28, female, she, her, and Rachel. You knew what you were doing when you used that name. 28, female, she, her, were best friends for over 10 years and had always said we would be in each other's weddings. 3 years ago, I got into my first relationship and she was already a year into her relationship. My boyfriend and I have minor disagreements. Rachel proceeded to tell me every time we had a disagreement that I should break up with him and that I couldn't trust him. There were never any cheating arguments. I told her that I trusted him and we have a very healthy, open line of communication. I've been in therapy and I can communicate. She couldn't understand this, which led me telling her I needed some space from her and her negativity. This space lasted 8 months. And I had begun healing after going through a rough mental health patch after moving to a new town. She reached out to me, and rather than asking how I had been, she immediately dismissed my feelings and made the whole thing about her and how the friendship was one-sided, and she had always put the effort in. She hadn't. She ditched me every time she got into a relationship and missed my birthdays because she was too hungover. I tried to explain why her comments had been hurtful. To which she said, it wasn't hurtful, you just can't accept that someone might not always have your best interests at heart. What a fucking cunt. After that, we cut ties and have blocked each other on everything. Recently, another friend told me that Rachel had gotten engaged and split from her fiance during the 8 months we hadn't been talking. Am I wrong for not giving a shit about her, or should I reach back out? Absolutely not. You're not wrong. This person seems awful. They also seem like they were projecting
literally
their feelings about their own relationship onto you. And I mean, it didn't work out. So it's not like that they were meant to be with that person anyway. She's also rude. Like, this is first, she complained about everything in your relationship when it was just small things. Nobody's going to have a perfect relationship, and even small things just still like it's nothing. And then her reaching out and saying that it wasn't hurtful. You can't just accept that someone might not always have your best interests at heart.
Like, is she talking about like she thinks that her boyfriend doesn't have her best interest at heart, or is she saying that like I don't have your best interest?
That she's saying I don't. I think that's what she's saying. It's like, you can't fault me because I don't always have your best interest at heart, because I'm a narcissist and only care about myself.
Yeah, this is,
I would not want to be friends. I would not want to be friends with this person.
No.
Like, she scares me.
No, that, yeah, like this is like big losery.
Creepy type of person.
Yeah, I feel like she's got that like glimmer in her eyes. Yes. You go, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Even when she smiles, it's like, I can't trust that bitch.
The smiles don't reach the fucking corners of the eyes. I bet if you look at some fucking pictures of her, she might not even appear in the photographs. It's like a vampire, the Flash. She's like, where is she?
Don't reach out to her. Don't ever talk to this girl again.
Yeah, I just don't know that you even were best friends with this. I will say some unsolicited advice to like pretty much everyone. Complaining about your partner, that's like a long term or whatever, when it's about a general thing where it's like we're talking about, you know, if it's in cis heterosexual relationships, when like women are talking about like weaponized incompetence with like men and whatever, I think that is great. But like when you, your friends, your family, anyone, when you like vent about a your relationship, like the shitty things to a friend every time they kind of happen, it's pretty natural that some people just aren't going to forget it. Like, and some people are just going to like, because they're not there for the apology. They're not there for the making up for it. So like they kind of, it does, people kind of like log it in the back of their head. And a lot of the times that prevents people from like going to therapy when they should go to therapy, or also talking things through like with their partner. And so I think that being intentional about what, who you share what with, when it's like people that you know are mature adults who understand relationships, who can like know that there's an ebb and flow, and also like really like your partner and like they're not rooting for them to fail, and or a friend who's in a very similar position to you, and you both go into it, those conversations, knowing that you relate to the other person and there's no bad feelings there, like in the long run. But I would say that like, I think this is, she's a bad friend, but I think even good friends can be bad friends in these situations. But I think she's a bad friend in all situations.
I literally cannot just like look you in the eyes and just tell you that I never have your best intentions.
This is giving me like, that's a flashback and then something else happens. Like, what? A part of me really wants to believe she meant that she thinks that her boyfriend doesn't have her best interest in heart, but like, how does that even relate?
It doesn't.
That's so creepy. Does she know where you live? I'm afraid.
Okay, your turn.
Okay. So my boyfriend and I have been dating for about a month, and he would always bring his dog over when he'd come to my place because he didn't like to leave her alone. I got a foster kitten that weighed 0.5 pound and was in rough shape because she had puncture wounds. My boyfriend wanted to come over and meet her, and I told him he couldn't bring the dog because I didn't want the dog around the kitten while she was still so little and vulnerable. My boyfriend got upset and offended and kept saying his dog wouldn't hurt the kitten and things like that. And then he ended up not coming over. Am I wrong for that? No. What? I'm just like, I'm curious how old he is, which is why we ask for like, do people include ages and stuff? Because even if it's like a dog, regardless, or like a new dog, it could even be new to you, but it's like an adult dog. Like, do people, does he not understand like the introduction of pets? Like you have to, you know, go through all of that shit. Like, and that's with a adult, a healthy, non-traumatized, like you have a tiny 0.5 pound kitten, and he's gonna, what? Does he think this is gonna be like an animated movie?
Right.
And that's, he's gonna facilitate the meet, like, if he wants to meet the...
A dog can just like, they think that they're being gentle, because how animals play. And you know, they kind of toss each other around. So like, no, you can't predict how the dog is going to react. You can't predict how the dog's going to react around you.
Yeah, that's not quality time you're spending with your girlfriend. Like, mm-hmm. if you want to have like a 20 minute, like, let's like, I'll bring the dog, like in, the dog will be in the car. We'll like bring the scent of the dog around. Like we'll slowly gradually increase all of this. But he's not even doing that.
And you've only been dating a month.
I'm sorry. If I was dating someone a month and they brought their dog over unless I fucking loved the dog and I like had lip, but like the level of like, you have to make sure you have nothing that the dog can like get into that could then hurt themselves mm-hmm. or poison themselves. Like within that level, like you have to like baby proof a home mm-hmm. that's like your place for their pet.
Yeah.
Like that to me is just, I don't find that like endearing, and like I do love dogs, but that's not, I don't think that bodes well 1 month in.
No.
For that, unless you're asking like, oh, bring the dog.
Yeah. I want an update.
I know, me too.
Are y'all still dating? This is just not the move for me.
This is not the vibe. No. I would be shocked if you're still dating.
Anyway, is your boyfriend at home all day? Because otherwise, which some people are home all day.
Yeah.
Us included. But your boyfriend just never leaves his dog alone.
Then have someone come to your place then. Yeah. And like if the dog, because like I just can't imagine that that's also like in the best interest and the most fun for the dog
right.
either.
Anyway, no, you're not wrong.
No, not at all.
Next up for me Hey, Megan and Melissa, I, she, they need to know if I'm wrong for wanting more support from my partner, he, him, 30, while sick.
The writer's 28. You skipped that part, but just FYI to people.
Great.
You're welcome.
We've been together 5.5 years and household responsibilities have always been a sore spot in our relationship. He's not the type of person who feels overwhelmed with clutter. I am, however. I shut down easily because of childhood neglect and still learning how to ask for help. I've listened to his feedback and agree that when at my limit, I can come across aggressive. So I've changed the way I ask to help. I ask for help to be a we instead of a you. I've gotten better at approaching housework as a team and communicating the why behind something that's important to me. We have an accountability calendar, so we both know what the other's personal goals are and can check in if support is needed. That being said, I awoke from my Rona coma after...
I've never heard that
term. Neither have I. And the way you wrote it looks like it's a...
like a Baja Blast.
Like I'd see a TM after it.
No, that's what I mean. Yeah. It looks like a frozen beverage mm-hmm. at a fast food chain.
Only to see boxes everywhere. No dent made in the yard work, dishes undone, countertop sticky, etc. While stressful, I never communicated that I liked him to help and I don't expect him to without asking. I approached the conversation this morning with, in the future, I think it could really help for us to take things off the person's plate when they're sick. He became defensive and looked at me as though I was asking for a kidney. I should mention he had a 3-day weekend, and even though I was asleep in my own room all day for 5 days straight, he left his room only when absolutely necessary. While I respect that he was afraid of getting sick himself, am I wrong for asking for more support when something as contagious as COVID is involved? Well, for me, as someone who is very afraid of COVID.
What?
And
we're very lax here.
And I also like have a compromised immune system, I would be in my room as much as possible and I wouldn't be doing any other work. Like, if it was his dishes that were left dirty, yes, he should be cleaning it. But if it was your dishes, I wouldn't want to touch them. And I know, you know, there are safety precautions you can take, but I'm a little too, like, I'm not going to touch it until a few days have passed and the virus has died off of those utensils. And yeah. So even if he had a 4-day weekend, it wasn't like he was on vacation. He was
in his own personal
his room, you know, staying away from the germs. So sorry, but I'm on his side for this one.
Me too. I think if he was like hanging out in the common space yeah. and was like in and out of the house, like and
or
was,
like going out
exactly,
with
like in
stuff.
And out, like all of that kind of thing. If it was clear that it was just he viewed your sick time as an off time. An off time for him mm-hmm. versus you're sick, we're locking down.
Yeah.
And this is also affecting me. Then that's where I think the difference in it is. I do think that I'm glad you mentioned that household responsibilities have always been a sore spot because I think that's what's coming from mm-hmm. this. But again, I'm also curious, you said you didn't leave your room for 5 days. So did he make you food and then leave it by the door? Or did you text him, I'm going into the kitchen to grab this, this, and this. And mm-hmm. then you escaped as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. Because I think both of those, I can still see if he's, the only time he's spending in common space is to cook his own food and cook you food or grab you takeout or whatever like that. He's doing stuff for you and he's not getting ahead of tasks mm-hmm. and you know, he might be nervous that he was going to get sick and that he was nervous about that and knowing that the period in which he could have gotten sick. So then if you didn't want to do a lot of yard work or things to kind of get a head start on some things or things that have been backlogged, that he was okay, well, there's a chance I'm going to get sick and I don't want to exert energy on the chance that I might be sick, but I'm not testing positive mm-hmm. yet, because that's also everyone says now with long COVID, it's lay in a room with the fucking lights off. Don't even think, don't even read, just sleep as much as possible and don't use a lot of energy. So I think that, you know, in general, communicating, if you're out of town or something and you're going to do for a weekend and you would like if they can get some, like your partner can get some stuff done similar to way that he could say that like to you. That's something that is needs to be communicated before because people can't meet your expectations. But I think in this instance, I think even if you communicate it before, I think it would be perfectly reasonable for him to be like, I'm not comfortable with that. But I think this is this is weighing on you because it's been a sore spot. So, but I think in this instance, I think it's very justified.
Yeah. If he looked at you like you asked for a kidney, then I'm guessing he feels the same way.
That's the part that I'm just like, that to me is you're trying to not get sick. Mm-hmm. And like not getting COVID is a way higher priority than like a sticky counter.
Right.
But again, I think in a different instance where there's not an incredibly contagious illness involved, I think that you would be totally justified in wanting, even if you were just working late. Mm-hmm. It's like we should always pick up in a shared household, like picking up the slack for what, like, you know, meeting people where they are. It's never going to be 50-50. But I just don't think these are the circumstances.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry.
You're wrong.
You're wrong.
All right. We're going to take another break.
Woo!
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
We're back with our final segment. Should I tell them what it is or would you like to tell them?
You can tell them since you're first up.
I am first up. Our first segment is...
Our third segment is...
My goodness. Our third segment is But Are They Wrong? Where we nominate someone in the news, pop culture, someone that, you know, we think deserves to be voted and crowned wrong of the week. Someone who's doing the most in not a positive way. And it can range from anything to news, politics, very serious, not serious, the ongoing saga of Scamtos, you know? Mm-hmm. Okay. So I would like to nominate Madison Russo. This is so specific. And I saw this first on someone's TikTok, and I want to give them a shout out because they're doing some great work. And their TikTok is Scrub Hacks. Madison Russo is a 19-year-old woman, which, you know, it's got to be bad if I'm coming for a 19-year-old, mm-hmm. who has been accused of stealing more than $37,000 from people who have been trying to help her for her cancer treatment that she does not have. So she started a GoFundMe, and she is currently facing a count of theft, according to the Eldridge Police Department. And she received about $37,300 from 439 donors claiming that she had leukemia, pancreatic cancer, and a football-sized tumor around her spine. She shared that she was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer on her GoFundMe page on March 9th, 2022. And the GoFundMe says that she, as a St. Rose Ambrose University student, she was diagnosed with cancer on February 10th, 2022, and started a vigorous chemotherapy and radiation treatment to battle the disease. As one can imagine, this diagnosis has been very hard on Maddie's family. Just like with any cancer diagnosis, the cost of medical bills, gas, meals, and expense can be a burden, and that's something this family should not have to worry about. So let's just talk about unpacking her social media. So she has kind of become a cancer influencer in the sharing of things. And when someone brought up how she had been going through this rigorous chemotherapy and she hadn't lost her hair, which, you know, not everyone loses their hair, she then posted a picture of hair in her sink. She said, like, oh, my hair is like falling out in clumps and the hair's cut. Like, it's straight cut. Mm-hmm. And it's, I'm going to say, it looks not like real hair, but it might be her real hair that she cut from the back where you can't see any of it. But it's clearly snipped ends of hair. And when asked how she was doing this, it was because she said that she had oral chemo and her specific brand of chemo doesn't cause hair loss, just thinning, which is not a thing. And again, thinning is coming from the root.
Right, I was going to say, thinning is still hair loss.
It's not a 3-inch haircut that you do in your sink. And then she goes on to say that she just takes biotin. And she holds up the hers package, shows like another one that her mom got her. And, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if there was a link tree in her bio where you could get her biotin that she's saying has helped her with this. So also on her social media, she is posting photos of like blood transfusions, like chemotherapy, all of this. And if you do a reverse image Google search, not her images, sometimes there are also other people on Instagram who do have cancer, who she's not just stealing like a stock image photo or something from a fucking hospital website. No, it's from like legitimate cancer patients who are documenting their own journeys. She talked about how she, you know, shows her port, which is looking pretty messy, not really how it should be. And then when zoomed in, this creator who is making this TikTok sees that it's a nurse who's doing this TikTok, that the port is a GI tube. And she put the part that goes into the port in her nose. So even if it was a GI, like a functioning GI tube, it's the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And it's so clear that it's not real. And the Eldridge Police Department was made aware of Russo on January 11, 2023. That's like almost a year after the GoFundMe was launched. And they subpoenaed Russo's medical records, showed that she's never been diagnosed with any type of cancer or tumor from any medical facility within the Quad Cities or surrounding area. She alleged that she had like had her pancreatic cancer was stage 2, acute lymphoblastic leukemia, and the tumor again on her spine. So last July, she also appeared on a Facebook page for the National Pancreas Foundation speaking about her story.
Oh my fucking
Melissa,
gosh.
It's wild. And it's a 5-minute video has also now since been deleted. And it was also highlighted in the North Scott Press newspaper where she talked about her journey with cancer. She made all of these claims very openly, also including to multiple media outlets, podcasts, and social media. And she spoke at her St. Ambrose University again, also as well as the Chicago-based National Pancreatic Foundation. So people on social media thought it was sus, and specifically cancer patients and people who have cared for people with cancer have noticed discrepancies in her story. She also posted all of these like links and things on LinkedIn. So people are trying to figure out if like her parents had any idea and like had participated in this. She also had posted another creator and someone who is like known within the cancer community had passed. And when they passed, Maddie made a post about it and talked about how, you know, really made it about herself and about how like this journey is so scary. And she's like spent so many countless nights on the phone with her and like how this like girl helped talk her through her cancer. So when in this other girl's like, you know, last year of life, spent time on the phone consoling someone who is faking having cancer. And she also picks and chooses at these public events she goes to wearing wigs and not well done wigs, poorly done, very obvious wigs to imply that she has lost her hair, which she hasn't. And she's showing them there. She also has like pictures of like her spine that she has like done with like the, like a, it looks like a crooked Band-Aid on it. Also the specific GI tube can be bought on Amazon. Like, it's just so, 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 so fucking much.
Yeah, I'm looking at her mugshot right now. And
oh, she's
hair
also
is so thick.
I know. She says, she's like, well, I've been blessed with like really thick hair. So like, yeah, I'm not really losing much. And also she is so fucking tan. Like, she's so fucking tan the whole time. She's not looking sallow. She's not having any of this. Like, she was like posting things about like, you know, going on runs and doing all of it. Like,
it's like she wanted to get caught.
That's the part that people are like, somewhat, everyone thinks that there has to have been an adult in her life that enabled this, because there's no way that her family and like you have to have someone corroborating the story.
Right. And like, no one ever asked like, hey, can I, let me go to chemo with you? Cause you can't just drive away from chemo.
That's what I mean. I'm like, so your parents or somebody someone has to be know. In on yeah. it. So then they're continuing this. And so she was arrested this past week and she was booked into Scott County Jail. And she yesterday, and the day we're recording this is Wednesday, January 25th. And I think it was yesterday, Tuesday, she posted bond, which was $10,000. So she's out on bond. And it's like, I would recommend looking at the other woman's TikTok where she's like going through all of this shit. But
what's her name?
Scrub Hacks. She's like kind of unpacking all of that stuff. And she even has people who have sent screenshots of like messages that like they're dealing with cancer. And like Maddie reached out to them and was like, let's talk. Like, I'm so sorry. Like, let's like, you know, I'm here for you, blah, blah, blah. And she documented all of this and it was so easily not real. And like, I don't want to divert blame from her because you make the conscious choice. But again, there has to be something else. There has to be another person involved in this. So that's what everybody's trying to like waiting. And I think even in the last TikTok that Scrub Hacks made, said something along the lines of like, I've had some people who've like let me know that there was somebody else involved in this, but until it's like reported or I have like confirmation, I'm not going to be sharing that information. So people are wondering if it's, I think the girl has a boyfriend or a partner or parent or someone who also willingly participated in all of this. And
they will get arrested too.
Yeah. And it's like individuals, nonprofits, and businesses all donated all of this money.
I saw that GoFundMe is refunding everyone their money.
Yeah.
But there's other things that she's gotten.
I was going to say, there's someone in my life who had cancer.
Rent
and like
paid.
That's, yeah. And I was like,
food.
People dropping off meals, like, you know, offsetting a lot of like your responsibilities and even just like being really overly kind to you and like buying you a Starbucks, like just anything like big or small, like anyone who has dealt with a health thing or you've been with people who've dealt with health things, like people treat you differently. Like, and it's not just kindness. It's with tasks and like, oh, I'm running to Target. Can I get you any? Like, right. People aren't going to get their time back, nor their like mental energy that they've spent and worrying about you.
They won't trust. They may not trust other people.
Yeah. I fucking can't stand that. Like Instagram. I mean, that the Reddit subreddit of like people like illness fakers and like people claiming that like all these people like fake illnesses and shit. And there are some people who do, but then they bring up the questioning for everyone to do that. And like, to be frank, when people are faking illnesses, they fake things like cancer. Like they fake things that are pretty easily disprovable. Like they're pretty easy to prove that they don't have, because they're seeking attention. And attention, you need to create doubt so that creates more attention there.
Right.
But it's fucking wild. And then just documenting it. Anyways.
All right. Well, rightfully said. This week, mine is Pat Grassley, who is a senator and, according to him, farmer from Iowa. He wants to end the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program in Iowa, also known as SNAP or food stamps. To him, he says, everyone wants to make this new education savings account program look like the true threat to public education. If you look at the cost, if you want to look at the true budget impact on what things really are challenging in the budget for public education or private education, whatever it be, it's these entitlement programs. They're the ones that are growing within the budget and are putting pressure on us being able to fund our priorities. So the proposal would make Iowa one of the first states in the nation to offer universal education savings account that could be spent on private school tuition.
I just have to say, government, your state doesn't pay for private schools.
The voucher-style scholarships would be worth $7,598 per student in the first year instead of, you know, giving monies to the public schools. You're just giving people vouchers to go to private schools.
And how much are the private schools paying you?
Right. I just want to highlight what he said. It's these entitlement programs. They're the ones that are growing within the budget. But, you know, speaking of people being entitled, he's the grandson of U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley, who is 89 years old. And in 2022, he was elected to his eighth term in the Senate. And then back to what I was saying, Iowa has a $1.8 billion budget surplus. He's seeking to limit food stamp recipients to essentially being WIC recipients, which would only be the new assistant program. And WIC is designed for expecting mothers. So getting rid of SNAP would cut meat, poultry, fish, canned fruits, and vegetables, and items commonly used for food preparation like butter, flour, spices, and seasonings, etc. And with WIC, you can only get milk, juice, cereal, bread, rice, pasta, fresh fruit, vegetables, eggs, and yogurt. And so no meat.
And brands too, specific. Yeah, so then with the shortages, there's a lot of like expecting mothers who couldn't get the formula that was covered by WIC. And so then you can use like EBT, like food stamps to cover other, it gives you more options.
Right. But also the thing is, SNAP is a federally funded program, not a state funded program. And the state only pays half of the administrative costs, which for Iowa constituted only $27.84 per case per month in 2020, less than the cost per case in 18 other states. Cutting this would save the state pretty much nothing, or actually they would end up paying federal costs more, because according to Luke Elzinga, the chair of the Iowa Hungry Coalition, the administrative cost to try to kick people off the program would only increase the cost to the state. Iowa would have to run a complete asset check on every application to ensure that they do not exceed the cutoff of $2,750 per household, $4,250 if somebody is disabled or over 60. And so even if somebody loses their job, they don't automatically get approved for WIC. SNAP, you have to go through all your savings and then have no money to even be approved for this. So it's not like it's even cost effective to do this.
Like for a family of eight, it's showing that your max gross monthly income is less than $5,000 for a family of eight.
Yeah. And so I also want to point out that the Grassley family farm has received over $1.75 million in federal subsidies over the past two decades, and more than 1 million of it was classified as a commodity subsidy, something the government pays farmers to make up the difference when the free market crop prices fell to reach the effective reference point. So they're not even making enough crops to really, like, they're making enough to be considered a farm, but not enough to make money.
Mm.
So the Grassleys grow on their 750 acres in Butler County. So again, like, he's taking money from the government. Who really is the entitled one here? Again, be careful who you elect to local government. Really look at the people that are being elected, because they're not that smart. They don't know what they're doing. So if you ever, I mean, looking at recent people that have won offices, including the last president, if you feel so inclined to run for office, even if you don't feel like you're educated enough, you are. You are.
That was really my takeaway. When Trump got elected, I was like, wow, I am erratic and smart enough to be president. Mm-hmm. Like, to use the Reddit term, like, a lot of politicians rage bait. And so they, like, create faux crises mm-hmm. to get people to vote for them.
Right.
And then when their constituents are like, okay, let's do this, they're like, okay, yeah, we're going for all of this. Like, they're banking on you not Googling, because you didn't Google during the election to find out that that's not a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're banking on you not Googling now to know that this is not.
Right. There's a lot of companies that are also, like, strictly against this bill because they're like, it doesn't make sense. But including Tyson Chicken, which has two plants and making more money than his family farm is. So,
well, a lot of benefits, a lot of companies benefit from participating in these programs, because it can be a tax mm-hmm. break for them. So, like, let's just talk about capitalism yeah. in regards to food stamps. Like, that keeps capitalism running. And also, the states that have the most people on food stamps are also red states.
Right.
And these are the people who voted for
you're going to take, because if it's not enough supplies that are going out for the people in your state, then they're going to take that plant away too.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. you're going to take jobs away from your state.
Pretty anti-capitalist of you.
Yeah. So again, if you feel so inclined and you're like, I don't know where to start, go to emergeamerica.org and they'll help you. They will give you a mentor to help you run for office.
Yeah. Regardless of where you are in your state and your circumstance, if you're finding yourself stretched thin financially, look into assistant programs in mm-hmm. your state, because where I grew up, we weren't on assistance by any means, but what was considered low income where I lived would not be considered low income in other places. So, like, mm-hmm. don't think of it like a universal number. If you're in a high cost of living area, and you might be eligible for assistance, and even if you are not eligible for federal or state assistance, you can also look into organizations who will kind of bridge that gap, because they know that a lot of places are only going to be helping people who are actively in poverty, maintaining their mm-hmm. level of impoverished. Not worse, but it's not getting anyone out of poverty.
Right.
So there are organizations who kind of bridge that middle ground and help out in that way.
Yeah, because even, like, I believe for SNAP in Iowa, if you have two cars, you don't qualify.
Yeah, there are a lot of, like, loopholes mm-hmm. so they don't have to cover for as much, but there's a lot of grassroots organizations who will actually. That's, like, the one thing that capitalism didn't account for is everyone who's been fucked over by it banding together and working together for that.
Yep. So, okay. Well, that's it.
Megan, you can't make thinly veiled threats on this pod. I know. Okay. Yes, that is it.
That's it.
The end. We hope you all enjoyed this podcast. If you want to vote, you should. Tomorrow. And if not tomorrow, message me. But head on over to our Instagram and vote who you thought was wrong in every situation. If you have things you want us to talk about next week, either your own hot takes, rants, things you want to hear us deep dive on, or you want to nominate a Rachel of the Week, you can tag us on Instagram, send it to our DMs, tag us on TikTok, our individual ones, or our joint one. Probably make sure you add our individuals, because I don't check our joint one as much.
I couldn't tell you the last time I logged into
our joint either. So tag our personal ones. Mm-hmm. And go comment on our Instagram who your personal Rachel of the Week is.
Yes, please.
And you should all know what Melissa recently told me. Meghan Markle's first name
is Rachel.
And that bitch, she's the original. Who knew? Who was like, I'm out. I'm going by Meghan. Meghan with an H. We're swapping that middle name first. Iconic. Okay, the end. Goodbye.
We'll circle back.
Oh, yeah, that is how we end this one. But Am I Wrong is a production by me, Megan Rinks.
And me, Melissa DeMonts, plus Diamond Imprint Productions.
Post-production by Coco Lorenz.
And production assistance by Melanie D. Watson.